it's trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a sliding rule is for. But I do know what it was.
So one of my sisters had one of her daughters start high school this year, grade 9. And me and this sister have been having a lot of conversations, grappling with cell phones and technology, social media, screens, all of that fun stuff that my kids are inching closer and closer toward. And both of us were so happy that the province enacted this cell phone ban earlier, last year. Gosh, right? Anyway, we're so happy because it's like, okay, good. Now that makes it easier. Our kids won't be distracted during the day. And so she sends her daughter off to grade 9 this year, and her daughter gets there and she comes home on the first day and says, "Mom, I need to get a phone because I need my phone to use the library card." And my sister said, "Yeah, right. Like, give me a break. Oh, and I also need it to submit assignments." And she said, "No way. Yes, Mom, I'm the only one that doesn't have a phone. Yada, yada, yada." And so my sister, being a former teacher, I might add, now a child psychologist, sends out an email to one of her daughter's teachers and says, "Is this for real? Like, does she need to have a phone?" And the teacher basically said, "Well, yeah, we do actually encourage it because she can submit an assignment using a laptop, but the quality isn't great. And so the phones take better pictures. And yes, we take attendance by having everyone's hand in their phone at the beginning of class," which I thought was, my sister and I both thought was just ludicrous, because it's automatically showing the students that have phones, the students that don't. Not everyone can afford it. Anyway, I wanted to talk this through with somebody who represents a lot of teachers, but a lot of other issues as well. So we thought this would be a good opportunity to invite Saskatchewan Teachers Federation President Samantha Beacott back to the show. Samantha, I know you're on the road today, so I appreciate you taking the time, but welcome back to the Evan Bray Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
All right, there's so much I want to talk to you about, just given a lot that is happening in the education association realm, if we can say. But first, this cell phone issue, is this something you've been hearing about from teachers in terms of how it's been rolling out? Has it been a smooth process? Does there seem to be any confusion about it?
Well, I think any new process or any new announcement that comes into education, there's always going to be bumps and hiccups and challenges. I've been hearing from teachers about it over the course of the last year that it's been going through implementation, and some good things, as you pointed out, having students' personal devices removed from the classroom helps to remove some of those distractions and challenges that would have existed in the past, maybe some battles between teachers and students to get devices put away and focused on learning. But at the same time, technology isn't going away. And I remember back in my high school days and sitting in math class and being told by the teacher, like, "You have to be able to do this without a calculator. You're never going to carry a calculator around in your pocket every day." Well, now just about everyone carries a calculator in their pocket. So how do we ensure that students can use these tools, devices really, as tools, whether it's within their education or know how to use them responsibly going out into their adulthood? So hearing from a lot of teachers about that as well, and the challenges around lack of technology within schools or access to technology within schools, where they may have access to Chromebooks or laptops, but really there's not enough to go around. Again, from experiences that I've had and hearing from teachers around the province, not one-to-one access to technology that's available within schools and classrooms. So that creates challenges when you're trying to plan engaging lessons and to teach kids these critical skills.
Yeah, I wonder, and I'm going to open this up to listeners too in a little bit. So I'm going to throw out our number, 1-877-332-8255. I'd like for listeners who have been confronting this issue with their own kids in schools to maybe send me a text message and tell me what your experience has been, and we can maybe circle back to this part of the conversation a little later on. But Samantha, remind me, was this legislation when it was passed last year, or these, it wasn't actually legislation, I don't remember, but when the cell phone ban came into effect before the beginning of last school year, was this something that was welcomed by teachers?
There was definitely, again, similar to the comments that I've heard over the course of the year, I think it was a policy directive that was brought forward where divisions had to have policies in place to ensure that personal devices were restricted. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of questions about what it would look like. As I said, there are some classes that rely on that use of technology, whether it's, say, an English class where they're needing to type out an essay, and again, that access to technology isn't there, or maybe a digital photography class where they're learning how to take good photos with composition and color and the scenes that's there. So that access to technology was definitely a concern. And so part of the rollout and implementation, we had heard about the ability for teachers to get approval from principals as long as that use of technology was critical for the delivery of education. So it's not really a total ban. Students can use their devices within schools, but that's not necessarily widely talked about, right? And so that part of that brings in some of the concerns that we would have heard about is mixed messaging around what the policy really was and what it states in terms of restrictions on devices. Yeah. It is a restriction, but again, there's always going to be technology in our classes, and we need students to be able to know how to use those devices properly.
Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit, and if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with STF President Samantha Beacott. And Samantha, we spoke earlier this year about everything that the Saskatchewan Teachers Federation was embroiled in with the provincial government and you guys trying to get a better deal, and specifically using, you know, the term classroom complexity became part of our everyday vernacular, I think, here in Saskatchewan. And I wonder, since you guys got your deal, how things have been going, you know, since this agreement between the province and the STF, because they promised additional staffing and resources for schools. Is that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our numbers show we've got approximately just over 500 additional teaching positions that are allocated through, it's our Article 17 on classroom complexity within our provincial collective bargaining agreement. Not all of them have been filled. I know that there are challenges in recruiting teachers to different areas of the province, but we're happy to say that the government, from what we can tell at least at this point, has allocated appropriate funding to school divisions to ensure that those positions are available and available to be filled once we can recruit teachers. I know we've also talked about a teacher recruitment and retention challenges and shortfalls, not just within Saskatchewan, but we're seeing that across Canada as well, and challenges in other areas of the country. So happy about how implementation is going. But again, similar to cell phones, there's going to be challenges that come up with any new policy or any new process that comes out within the education sector. But I think the key is that we just need to all work together, recognizing that there are going to be challenges, and try and move forward to find the best possible solution, whether it's implementation on a cell phone policy or implementation with Article 17 that was brought forward through arbitration and really decided for us of what it was going to be. But teachers are committed to ensuring that it's the best for students, to ensure that they're getting the supports that they need, recognizing that it is just a first step. It's not going to provide solutions to all of the challenges that exist in relation to classroom complexity.
So when we're talking about classroom complexity, I mean, there's so many things that this can envelop. Students that are coming here with trauma, perhaps from war zones, or with English as an additional language. But we also talk a lot about neurodiversity these days. Of course, there are more children being identified as having ADHD or being on the autism spectrum. I wonder, are Saskatchewan teachers receiving the training or professional development that they need to effectively support neurodiverse learners under this new structure?
That's a great question and a great point. I think over the course of the years, as we're seeing more and more of that underfunding to education, divisions are really restricted in what they can provide to teachers in terms of ongoing professional development. I think teachers coming into the classroom have a great set of, in terms of base skills to support the students within their classrooms, but we also can't expect teachers in classrooms to be everything, right? They don't hold a magic wand to say, I can support students with significant mental health challenges, I can support students with speech language challenges. I can support students with behavioral challenges. We need to wrap those supports around not just students, but with the teachers in the classrooms as well. And we talk about classroom complexity a lot. We talk about challenges and students maybe from a deficit mindset of students needing additional support in that way that they're struggling. But we're also talking about students who should be challenged in their education. Maybe they're excelling in a classroom and now they're sitting there bored because they already understand the content. And yes. And if we supported classrooms better, if we had better or more manageable class sizes, maybe a teacher would be able to provide some enrichment activities for those students as well.
Right. All right. I want to continue this conversation, but I'm going to ask you to just hold on for a couple for minutes, sure. Samantha Becott, as we head to a break. On the other side of the break, my conversation continues with STF President Samantha Becott. You are listening to Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray this week on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.